Listen, Marks, this is the Strong Style Enthusiast, MK McKinnon, and I advise you to go and listen to the UK's number one wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner, and follow me on Twitter at MK McKinnon, or you can just simply KYS.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Indie Corner with myself, Stuart Rogers, guys. It's been a hell of a last few days. First, you know, British wrestler Chris Travis announced to the world that he's battling stomach cancer. He's had to have a tumour removed and he's now had to go through, you know, weeks and weeks of chemotherapy. More on this shortly. And then yesterday it came out the news that long-time British wrestling fan and personality Stuart Allen passed away. Stuart was a co-host of the Ring Bells podcast with Lee Burton and also provided commentary along with Dean Ayas on the DG UK shows, and also in the past he did the Noah shows when they come over here to the UK. Just like to say, you know, my thoughts are with Stuart's family at this time. And back onto Chris Travis now. Many people in the British wrestling scene have started up, you know, donation pages to raise money for Chris, and the support by the wrestling fans and well wishes from both here and around the world has been terrific. One of the donation pages set up was by Chris's Project Ego partner Martin Kirby in conjunction with Steve HD Evans from FPW. Now, many have been, you know, copy and pasting links around, so what I personally thought I'd do was put a permanent link up on my site so people can find it easier. And more importantly, you know, as I get a lot of visits to the sites on a daily basis, you know, to read various content, people who maybe didn't know about the donation drive would get to see the banner, hopefully click on it, donate, and tell others about it. But while skimming through Twitter at work on Monday, I saw a tweet that basically said this is how I'm going to quote it to you now. "We find it pretty sickening that a British wrestling outlet is directing traffic to their own website to donate to @RealChrisTravis. Now, I wasn't named, but I can only add two and two together and work out that it's me they're talking about. And the fact they were, you know, following me at Twitter at one point, now all of a sudden they're not, makes it, you know, that more of a coincidence. Anyway, you know, I was absolutely seething at work. I really went to bits. I could not, you know, believe someone would say something like this. You know, I just wanted to help someone out who's having the most, you know, terrible time, and some low life can, you know, sink to this level and accuse me of doing it to get traffic or hits on my website or whatever. You know, it's just proper shit. And, you know, I posted a statement on the Facebook page about this, stating that, you know, I took it down, and, you know, I hope it would please these low lives, and, you know, to get on with the lives and concentrate on their own shitty little lives rather than saying things like that. And I must say the support of all the followers of the page was outstanding. You know, many saying I should put it back up, and just basically the general support from the people, you know, was great. And I'd just like to thank them all, if any are listening to this episode. In closing, I haven't made this public, you know, I have had a chat with Chris personally himself, you know, and he's fine with what I did to an extent. You know, he thanked me and he appreciates all the support. So, you know, that's that. You know, all I can say is, you know, it's really pissed off with that person or those people that said what they said. And, you know, it's just all I can think is just scum of the earth to say something like that. But, you know, it's one of them. Time to move on. So on this subject, you know, about Chris and his recovery and stuff like that, you know, PCW are holding a charity event in January in aid of Chris, and there'll be more on that in the news. So moving on to what else is on this week. Joining me on the show will be Chris Roberts, as we'll be previewing both the weekend's Rev Pro shows. There was some technical difficulties just towards the end of the second preview Which would have helped. I tried to work around it afterwards and I just couldn't, unfortunately. But we pretty much got, you know, 99% of the reviews completed. And at the end of the show, Justin DiVigilio will be back with his US Indie news. So what we do now, guys, just have a quick break and then I'll be back with the start of the news.
Flash Morgan Webster here, the undisputed king of the mods. When I'm not raving in a nightclub or rocking in the Strangler, I'm listening to the Indie Corner.
Okay, guys, so what we'll do now is, as I said just before the break, we'll go into the news. Starting with Hull Wrestling, they have announced for Grand Theft Autumn on November the 1st, Sam Wilder going up against Damian Dunn. Other matches already announced were the Hunter Brothers against the Hooligans, who of course will have Ricky Knight in their corner. Tyler Bate against CJ Banks, which is going to be an amazing match. And Ashton Smith against Mikey Whiplash. And in another exclusive from Hulk, we can announce that on November the 8th at Evolution 16, Nathan Cruz will take on Max Angelis. So for tickets and details for this one, head over to hulkwrestling.co.uk. Moving on now to PCW. As mentioned earlier, they're running a charity show on January the 23rd with all the profits going to Chris Travis. The first match has been announced and it's the current PCW Tag Team Champions team single going up against the Hooligans, Zach and Roy Knight, of course, with Ricky in their corner. Head over to PrestonCityWrestling.com for tickets. IPW UK now, they have unfinished business on November the 15th and have announced that D&D, which are Kieran Donnelly and Danny Duggan, will be taking on the Coffey Brothers, Mark and Joe. And already announced for this show was the All England champion Daryl Allen taking on Joey Ryan. Head over to IPWUK.com. for tickets, details, etc. On to Rev Red Wrestling now. This is a new promotion that will be running their first shows. Yes, I said shows. Two shows on the same day, November the 15th, down in Newport, Wales. The first being Start the Revolution with a bell time of 3 p.m. Doors opening at 2:30. And then the evening show, New Kings, will be starting at 7 p.m. The doors at 6:30. They've announced some matches already, so check out their Facebook page, facebook.com/Revolution Red Wrestling for those. But I have an exclusive announcements for both shows. First for Start the Revolution, the Alpha Males, Yestin Rees and Charlie Garrett, will be taking on Martin Kirby and Jack Gallagher. And for the New King show, Mark Andrews will be taking on the Jack Gallagher one-on-one. So these matches should be great indeed. So, as I said, you know, check out their Facebook page, give it a like and follow them on Twitter at RevRedWrestling. Tickets can be bought from ringsideworld.co.uk and they have their own Big Cartel site, which is surprisingly revolutionredwrestling.bigcartel.com. What we'll do now is just move into the previews that I did with Chris Roberts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is New Japan Pro Wrestling's own, the Machine Gun, Carl Anderson, and you're listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner. Stop sign.
Welcome back to the show, guys. As I said just before the break, I'm joined right now by the number one referee here in the UK, Chris Roberts. So first things first, how are you today, Chris?
I'm very well, Stu. I'm very well. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. I'm looking forward to having a chat with you about the upcoming Rev Pro shows for the weekend.
Yes.
But before we get cracking on them two, you know, huge shows, especially the Saturday one at York Hall, I believe there's a few things you just want to get off your chest, so to speak, have a little talk about. So I'll pass the reins over to you.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Stu. It's only a quick thing, so I don't want to start on a downer or anything, but I know you've already mentioned these 2 points, but a couple of things I wanted to mention. At the moment, my friend Chris Travis is currently in recovery from an operation to remove a tumour for stomach cancer. So obviously Chris is going through treatment and everything, and unfortunately, because wrestling is his full-time job, isn't able to work at the moment. And there are a handful of money-raising initiatives going on online. I won't give the specific details, but if you go and follow Chris Travis on Twitter, which is at Real Chris Travis, that's Chris, K-R-I-S, or if you go on my Twitter at Hotbox Roberts, you'll see a bunch of retweets with the details of these fundraising sites, which is basically just to support him while he's unable to wrestle. And that's basically it. If you know, whatever you can give to help Chris Travis at this point in time, you know, is very much appreciated by everyone in the wrestling community. So, you know, please help in any way you can. Another thing I want to mention is, unfortunately, this week British Wrestling lost one of its best commentators in Irish Stuart Allen, who unfortunately passed away, I believe, on Monday night. I've known Stu for about 10 years as a fan before I got into wrestling, and since I got into wrestling, we've done shows together for Dragon Gate UK, for Noah, various other places. We weren't like the best of friends, but I've known Stu for so long, you know, and he was just always around, and was someone I really loved times when I was in the States, giving me rides here and there and whatever, and was just a really lovely guy and a tremendous asset to British wrestling. So I just wanted to send my condolences out to Stu's friends and family and say how much he'll be missed by those of us in British wrestling that knew him. So, yeah, thank you for letting me get those 2 points out there, Stu.
Yeah, no problem. Obviously, everyone that follows the Indie Corner, Twitter, Facebook, wherever, you know, from the start of the week, you know, we've been talking about his issues, and obviously at the start of the show today, I had to get some stuff off my chest and all that. But yeah. Real bad both circumstances, you know. With what's happened with Chris, and you know, that's bad enough. But then you've got Stu, who basically, you know, has passed now, and you know, to be seen no more to an extent, which is a shame, because everyone that knew him had nothing but good things to say about him. And like I say, much like yourself, you know, known of him and been around him for you know, quite a while, but you know, wasn't really, really close with him. But still, you know, anyone in this fraternity, so to speak, you know, it's a shame when you hear those things. And like when you hear about it, someone who was got a reputation of being so nice and things like that, you know, it's real sad. And,
yeah, it's a travesty, but Stu is going to be very, very, very sadly missed, unfortunately.
Definitely. Oh, God, I feel bad now saying we've got to move on to this. But
the way I look at it is this, right? Stu was a massive supporter of British wrestling, and he would want nothing more than for us to smash it out of the park this weekend. And I know the same for Travis. You know, he's away from wrestling at the moment, but I know that he also would want us to go out there and do what we do, and you know, entertain the fans and show people why British wrestling is the best wrestling, you know, why we've got the best stars, and why, you know, both Stu and Chris would want us to go out there and absolutely kill it this weekend.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think you know, looking at the lineups for the two shows, that's exactly what would happen.
Yes.
So what we'll do then, we'll start off with the big Rev Pro show at Your Call on Saturday. And it's a case of where do you start, what match do you start with first. What I think I'm going to start with first would be the six-man match, the Revolutionists. That will be Shaw Samuels, Terry Frazier, and
Josh Bowden.
Josh Bowden, of course. Oh, I love Josh. I think he's amazing. He really should get more places and more bookings, but that's a different story. He'll be going up against, obviously, Rikishi and Too Cool. You know, Too Cool is a bit of a Rikishi, a bit of a nostalgia thing, and I'm sure they'll have the crowd in fits of laughter that night. But, you know, the Revolution is the total opposite, all about business and very serious. I mean, at the last York Hall show, I think it was the last one, and Terry and Shaw wrestling at the opening match of the tag titles, defending the tag titles, the intensity from them two guys was just out of this world, man, what they were doing, going into the crowd and stuff like that. So, you know, it's going to be a different, interesting clash of styles. What do you think about this one?
It is exactly what you said, an interesting clash of styles. I think at the last Sitting Bones show, Terry Shaw and Josh were very disrespectful towards Rikishi and Too Cool. They were giving stink faces to Jake McCluskey and generally just being, very disrespectful. I think it's a, like you said, there's nostalgia there for Rikishi and Too Cool. You know, they haven't, they've never wrestled in Rev Pro. I don't know the last time they would have teamed over here as a group. You know, you're probably talking 12 years or more. So there's that which hasn't been seen for a long time. And I think you're just going to see three, you know, of the biggest stars of the Attitude Era taking on three of the biggest stars of current British wrestling. And I think, I think Terry Shaw and Josh are out to make names for themselves. I think they'll be looking to disrespect Rikishi and Too Cool and to just try and ruin the nostalgia and ruin the good feel factor on that night. I think it's going to be a very very chaotic 6-man match.
Yeah, for sure that one is. it's just going to be wild because it's just going to, you know, do all their laughing and joking stuff, and then it's just going to, you know, they're just going to, like, you can just see it now, they're just going to get really annoyed and just, you know, lose it, and it's going to be a comedy of errors, so to speak.
Yeah, it's
going
to be a wild one.
Yeah. Moving on, talking about another match. Obviously, it was supposed to happen at the last Big York Hall show. That would be Dave Mastiff going up against Machine Gun Carl Anderson.
Yeah.
Obviously, Carl Anderson couldn't make it that day, and Bad Luck Fale stepped in his place. And that ring, I don't think I've ever seen a ring move so much when he was hitting the ropes and hitting the turnbuckle.
I bet, yeah. He's Fale, a monstrous that individual.
That ring was shifting, and, you know, I don't know what it was like for you because you were in the ring.
Unfortunately, I wasn't. No, I wasn't at that show, so...
That makes me
sorry, Stu. Sorry.
Yeah. That you know, that was just a behemoth of a
yeah. He's a monstrous individual.
But this one, anyway. Excited to. Shame I'm not going to be there to see him in person. But excited to know that Anderson's coming over. Obviously, been massive in New Japan, and then when he's been doing his you know, his Ring of Honor dates, that's when he's really shone through. And straight away when he's appeared on Ring of Honor, it's been the when I got to watching that show he's been on, it's been the first thing I've gone to because I just know how good he is and I wanted to see him in that environment. It's always been amazing. But, yeah, him and Mastiff will have a really good match indeed. And, you know, calling it now, I think it'll be a better match than the match with Mastiff and Fale, but that's just my opinion. Again, where do you see this one going?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a different match from Mastiff and Fale. I mean, Fale is a completely different animal to Carl Anderson. Anderson is probably one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. I mean, it helps that he's, you know, a monster of a man, but he can go, man. Like, and Dave's the same. Like, Dave's a big guy, but he can wrestle and he can brawl and he can fight and he can do it all, you know. So, and that rhymed as well. I think you're going to have two outstanding all-round wrestlers beating the piss out of each other, pardon my language. And, yeah, I think you're in for something special. I think, you know, Dave always brings his A-game, and Dave is such a badass, you know, and Anderson is another badass, and he's one of the biggest stars of New Japan of the last 2 years, and a guy that's, like you say, been killing it for Ring of Honor and is a superstar in Ring of Honor and a superstar in New Japan. And I think that could be the sleeper match to steal the show. I think, you know, when you get two big heavyweight guys in there who can go, I think, you know, there's endless possibilities there.
That's an understatement entirely. You know, that's going to be a really good match. And like I say, I'm just gutted I'm not going to get to see, but really looking forward to it coming out already on DVD when it comes out. So moving on, where do we go next? Let's talk about the tag team match. Well, it's supposed to be 2 Unlimited against Inner City Machine Guns. Obviously, it won't be the Inner City Machine Guns now. I believe it'll be Rich Swann and Austin Aries going up against Two Unlimited, unless something's changed, and I don't know.
No, that is the match, yeah.
Yeah, the last York All Show was the first time I'd seen Two Unlimited. I didn't know anything about them. And they came out, and I thought, what's this? And then, like I say, 10 minutes into the match, I thought, oh, this is my type of thing, you know, the wrestling styles that I like, high-flying, flippy moves and things like that, and yeah. Really impressed. So, like I say, when the original match was signed, you know, against in a City Machine Guns, I thought, oh, that'll be good. Just like, you know, Machine Guns against Sword of Essex was a couple of shows back, but, yeah. You know, like I say, Ricochet is out the show, and Austin Aries is now in. So, how do you see this one going?
I don't even know where to start with this one. I mean, for those people that have seen the last few tag matches at York Hall, you know, I mean, they have between Two Unlimited and Inner City Machine Guns and the Swords of Essex and various other teams, they have torn the roof off that building a couple of times, you know, and probably redefined tag wrestling in this country in terms of what you can do in a match. I mean, obviously, Swan and Aries have never teamed together before that I know of, so there's a factor there, you know, in that they've never teamed. Mm. It's unfamiliar, whereas Two Unlimited are, you know, a team through and through. You know, the brothers, they're everything a tag team should be. I don't know where to begin with this one because it's going to be chaos, I would assume. You know, you're going to see moves you've never seen before. You're going to see dives like you've never seen. You're going to see high-flying things you've never seen. Austin Aries added in the mix is just mind-blowing because he's obviously one of the world's best wrestlers, the greatest man that ever lived, a former X Division champion, a former world heavyweight champion. What he brings to the table is something completely different. So I just think you may just see the wildest tag match you ever saw.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a fun match indeed. Talking about fun matches and a match that's just going to be mind-blowingly exciting, especially for, you know, like I say, the type of wrestling that I like to watch is going to be Will Ospreay going up against Matt Sydal. I mean, Will's only a young lad, but Matt Sydal's not a million miles old, years older than him, I should say.
Yeah.
So that match is just going to be off the charts. What are you thinking about this one?
I think, again, these guys could go out there and redefine, you know, aerial wrestling and high-flying wrestling and high-risk wrestling. It's basically, it's not quite student versus the pupil, but it's not far off. You know, Matt Sydal is someone that Will Ospreay looked up to as he was, you know, coming into the business and wherever, and is someone that innovated the style of wrestling well known for. So you have got the old master against the new up-and-coming star. It's special. I mean, these guys can both pull off such amazing things in the ring that are almost gravity-defying. You're going to see the fastest, most action-packed singles match of the night in this one, I think. I think this is a chance for Will Ospreay to prove that he belongs with the very elite. You know, it doesn't get much better in this business as a high flyer than Matt Sydal. So this is a time for Will Ospreay to step up and prove himself and prove that he really does belong there with the big boys. And it's also, on the flip side, it's a time for Matt Sydal to prove that he's still at the top of his game and he can, you know, keep up with and be better than these younger guys coming through, you know. So both guys have got something to prove in this one.
Yeah, for sure. That's the thing. Matt Sydal obviously got released by WWE for whatever reason, you know. I suppose the real reasons will never come out and stuff like that. But, you know, he's got straight back on the saddle. He's been working the working independence, and now he's going to come over here and put on a barn burner of a match with Will Ospreay, for sure. And the big matches just keep on getting bigger for young Will Ospreay.
Yeah, Will Ospreay's star continues to rise and will continue to rise if he carries on the way he's going. You know, Will Ospreay could be the next big breakout star from this country.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on to the RevPro British, was it Undisputed British Heavyweight title now?
Yes.
Champion Marty Scurll, back on a title defence on a big show. He's going to be going up against Martin Starr. And, of course, Martin Starr, back in the country, I should say, the UK as a whole, for what is it, 6 months now, something like that?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, he's been doing a few dates. Obviously, won the tag titles at the last York Hall show?
Yes.
The last York Hall show in, like I say, that was a just a crazy match that was. That was just a crazy match. But now he's getting the chance to challenge for the heavyweight title. I wouldn't say a version of which he's held in the past, but you know, looking back at the old FWA, you know, he was their champion, I believe, probably just before he went over to the WWE back in the day. Yeah. So yeah, it's something Martin Stone's very familiar with, you know, being a heavyweight champion of a big British promotion. So how'd you see this one going?
Yeah, if you've seen the there's two interviews online on the Revolution Pro YouTube page, and you'll find them on the Rev Pro Twitter as well. But Marty did an interview, and then Martin posted his rebuttal, and basically they tell the whole story, you know, and it's as real as it gets, to be honest. You know, when Martin Stone was the top guy in this country, Marty Scurll was a tag team attraction, you know, and not seen as that guy, you know, the guy, the champion, the top guy of a promotion. And when Martin at the time was the top guy of the promotion, you know, and top guy of in Britain, you know, he was heavyweight champion in many places, and Martin was the man. He was the governor, you know. It wasn't just a name, a nickname. And genuinely, in the 2 years that Martin has been gone, Marty Scurll went from being that tag team attraction to being, you know, a television star via, you know, Take Me Out, and then a bigger TV star via British Boot Camp, and has become one of, if not the most well-known and famous and top wrestlers in this country. You know, Marty Scurll is everywhere, and he is the Rev Pro champion, and he beat Colt Cabana for it, and Colt Cabana was a hell of a champion. So Marty really has earned that spot as the top guy. But, you know, Martin truthfully is coming back for that spot. You know, he believes he's still the best in this country. This is just going to be a battle of two guys trying to find out who's the best. You know, there's not really a personal issue here, but there's definite animosity. You know, Marty seems to think that Martin has no place anymore. And Martin seems to think that he is still the man. And I'm not going to doubt Martin Stone. You know, I've seen him compete since he's been back in this country, and he's as bad as ever. You know, he's a mean badass. I don't know what to expect in this one, because there's two different styles as well. You know, Martin's more of a brawler, whereas Marty's more of a technically sound wrestler. But, you know, Marty's shown in the past that he's very cunning, very devious. I wouldn't like to pick a winner in this one, I'll be honest. I just think we're going to see one of the classic Rev Pro title matches up there, along with Cabana and Samuels and Marty and Cabana, and, you know, those kind of matches. I think we're going to see another classic Rev Pro heavyweight title match.
Yeah, most definitely that one. You know, looks like he's hungry for that one for sure, and Martin, and young Marty, you know, is gonna have his hands full trying to fend off Martin Stone in that one.
Yeah, I don't think man's gonna lay down easily in that one.
No, definitely. So moving on to, of course, what's going to be the main event. Joe Redman, much like Martin Stone, now back in the country after having a stint over in the WWE's development, but, you know, come back and hasn't missed a step. And I don't know if I read a report. I was talking to someone recently, and it basically said, you know, you can see why Joe Redman was picked to go over there. You know, they were interested in him because the guy's a, you know, like a physical specimen.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, and then when it comes down to his wrestling, you know, he's just got it. He's just a great wrestler, you know, looks the part, and, you know, and outside the ring as well, from what I led to believe, you know, nice guy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But well, this time around, he's in there against, you know, a massive superstar from New Japan Pro Wrestling, obviously, Okada. That's, you know, Rev Pro brought in some big guys, you know, be that the legend Jushin Liger to, you know, Hiroshi Tanahashi. But now, I think taking that final step to Okada, he got so much praise, especially like in 2013.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like a huge star. And over there, he's seen as like an idol, what we would class over here as big movie stars. I think he has that appeal in Japan. His scope is that big.
Yeah.
So how do you see this one going, in the way like Joel wrestles and going up against Okada? Because I know you've watched a lot of Okada stuff. You're a big fan of New Japan yourself, like Andy Gordon and stuff like that. So how do you see it going?
Again, I don't really know what to expect with this one, because it's kind of a clash of styles. I mean, he's obviously a hard-hitting, you know, wrestler, because that's the style that they wrestle in Japan. But then Joel Redman is, for a Brit, is possibly the hardest hitting British wrestler I've ever seen. Like, he just is so unbelievably strong, and he beats the dog out of people when he's in that ring. You know, he holds nothing back, and he's so technically sound, and he's such a just a great all rounder. But then Okada is a former IWGP champion. You know, he's done it all over there, and in the last week, eating everybody. He's main evented pay per views over there. You know, Okada is one of the biggest stars in the wrestling business right now, bar none. But, you know, out of anyone in WWE, TNA, whatever, you know, Okada is on that list among the very top, probably the top 10 stars in professional wrestling right now. So that's got to be a daunting thing for Joel Redman, stepping in there with such a big star. But on the other hand, I think if anybody's ready for the challenge, it's Joel Redman, you know, to prove that he is among the elite as well. You know, if Okada is in the top 10 best in the world, then, you know, Joel Redman's knocking that door at number 11, you know. So I think you're going to see a very hard-hitting match. I think you're going to see a lot of great wrestling, you know, technical wrestling, but I also think you're going to see a hell of a war between two very young and very, very ambitious and very, very great wrestlers.
Yeah, for sure. That's just like going to headline a great card, and that match is just going to be very, very good indeed.
Yes.
And like I say, you know, the DVD, this can't come out quick enough, and the show hasn't even happened yet. But, you know, for us, I'm fortunate not to be able to make it here. You know, that's what we've got to hope for the best, and that it comes out rather quick. And like I say, we're looking forward to seeing it. Well, that won't be the only thing, obviously, for the weekend. For RevPro. Moving on to Sunday, they're going to be holding a show in Clapham. What's the venue, Chris?
The Clapham Grand. Tickets are still on sale for that at revolutionprowrestling.com. But yeah, it's the Clapham Grand. It's a very different venue to York Hall. It's mostly a standing venue, but the atmosphere there is going to be incredible. It's very enclosed. It's a well-known boxing venue and MMA venue. And I think it's going to have a very big fight feel to that venue.
Yeah. So, like I say, some cracking matches lined up for this one as well. I think what we'll start off with is a three-way match, and a rich one going up against Will Ospreay against Josh Bolden. Obviously, I spoke earlier how much of a Josh Bolden fan I have, and it's no surprise that I'm a massive fan of Will Ospreay. Again, rich one, someone I've seen quite a lot of. Got to see him live over here in the UK as well within the last month or couple of months or so. You know, again, Swan and Ospreay, two guys that their style will mesh quite well. Josh wrestles a different type of style, and obviously he's going to be... So we say the bad guy in this match. So it'd be an interesting one, nice, diverse, a lot of styles there. How do you see this one going?
This is a different kind of match because you've got Swan and Ospreay, who are known primarily as high flyers and risk takers, and they know each other. You know, they've wrestled each other in tags, maybe a singles as well. I'm not sure, but definitely in tag matches. So they're familiar with each other, but they work similar sort of styles. And then you've got Josh Bodum, who's more of a grounded wrestler, but, you know, still in his own right. Three-way match is always hard because, you know, you've always got two guys gunning for you, and when the cruiserweight title's on the line, you've got two guys gunning for Josh Bodum's title. So I think you're going to see three guys going out there and giving it their all.
Is it a title defense for Josh?
It is a title defense, yes.
Ooh,
it is.
That adds a little. You know,
Will Ospreay's never held a title in Rev Pro. Rich Swan is a former Rev Pro tag champion. So it's a very interesting one. I mean, it's probably the toughest defense of Josh's career. I mean, he's had a lot of singles matches, and he beat, you know, Prince Devitt for the title, you know, so he's not no stranger to, you know, big atmosphere matches. But when you've got two world-class guys in there like Ospreay and Swan, you know, that's a different game plan altogether, you know. So Bodum's got his work cut out for him there.
Yeah. Definitely. And moving on, we spoke about him earlier, Tour Unlimited. They're going to be in another match, gone up against the Hunter Brothers, obviously. Lee and Jim are someone that I'm very familiar with, you know, via watching wrestling, and obviously on a personal level as well. And they're both great guys. Different styles again, you know, the Hunter Brothers style and the Tour Unlimited style. Imagine this one going.
Again, this is going to be a classic tag match, but like you said, very different styles. I mean, it's all brother tag teams, which is unusual, you know. I can't remember the last time, if ever, I've seen that in this country with two old brother tag teams. So you've got two teams that know their partners inside and out. So both teams are, you know, clicking on the same level. Like you said, Two Unlimited and a very high flying team, high risk, high impact. The Hunters, more grounded, but they've been teaming a lot longer together. So I think they've obviously got the experience advantage. They've probably got the big match advantage under their belt as well because of how long they've been teaming together on the British circuit. So I think you've got experience versus youth in this one. You've got, you know, the Hunters, they may not be high flyers, but they can do that stuff, you know. They can go and they can keep up with that. So will the Hunters ground Two Unlimited? Will Two Unlimited force the Hunters to go into their game plan and, you know, fly with them and, you know, go through all that fast-paced action? I don't know, but I think, again, this is going to be another classic Rev Pro tag match. You know, it's probably going to tear the roof off that building.
Yeah, definitely. Something else I've got in the notes, you know, before talking about some more matches, you know, Andy Simmons calling out Buff Bagwell. I mean, what's all that about? Is that basically Simmons going to be, you know, cutting a promo on Bagwell, or what's the story behind this?
I don't know? All I know about this is that Andy Simmons is obviously one of the most outspoken and disliked people on the British wrestling scene. You know, Simmons is, well, he's disliked for his outspokenness. You know, he's Andy Simmons is obviously a commentator for Rev Pro, but he's very outspoken and very opinionated. And I think when Andy Simmons learned that Buff Bagwell was in London this weekend, that he took it upon himself to call out Buff Bagwell. You know, I mean, Simmons isn't one to shy away from the limelight, and I think he's probably seen an opportunity in calling out Buff Bagwell to get himself some press and some notoriety. So that's basically the situation with that. I don't know how that will pan out. I don't know what's going to come of that, but I think Simmons is probably going to bite off more than he can chew. And on that note, I've actually got an exclusive for you, Stu. I've got a match which has yet to be announced for Sunday. And yeah, that's a singles match, and that's going to be Joel Redman taking on Shaw Samuels in a one-on-one singles match.
Oh, that's going to be you know, to say the words strong star, which is going to be a
war, proper war. These guys are very familiar with each other, going back to the Cartel and Thrillers days, and they've wrestled each other a lot in singles matches up and down this country. I don't know if they've, I know they have, but they've never wrestled each other in singles in Rev Pro. And I think, you know, the last time these two would have wrestled each other in tag matches, well, they wrestled each other in a tag match in two tag matches earlier this year, obviously in June and July. But in singles, it's been a long, long time. And I think they're both different competitors to the last time they would have competed in singles. And based on the history of those two tag matches earlier in the year, I think you're going to see two of Britain's very best beating the crap out of each other. And I kind of feel sorry for both men because Joel hits hard and Shaw hits hard. And I think if both men aren't beaten and battered after the first night, then I think both men are going to be beaten and battered after the second.
That one's for sure. That one's just going to be brutal. Nice little surprise there, getting that exclusive announcement.
Always good to us doing these previews, you know, so we thought you'd just throw out that little exclusive there for your listeners.
Yeah, nice one. Cheers, mate. You're moving on, flipping now. These two next two matches. Well, I say next two matches. I believe that there's two matches that I know of and maybe one other match to happen. But Marty Scurll against Shelton Benjamin, that match is just a mouthful. And I remember the night I heard about that match, that just straight away my jaw dropped. Just came out of nowhere, and I just thought, oh, what a match this is going to be. Again, different type of style, you know. Benjamin, very much of a high flyer, well, he was the last time I seen him anyway. And but, you know, former collegiate wrestler over in the US before he became professional, so knows how to do it on the mat as well, if you know what I mean. And then you got Marty, obviously. I think you alluded to it earlier, you know, back in the day when he was like basically a tag team wrestler with Zach in the leaders, you know. He used to wrestle a different style, and now as he's got older, he's sort of changed his style a little bit, and he's definitely got a different attitude on fans and on wrestling and the like. And this match is just going to be very good, and, you know, like I say, there's a lot of good stuff on the match, including the show, I should say, including the main event. But to be there, for anyone that's there for this one is in for a treat for sure. So how do you see this one going?
I think you summed it up quite pretty damn well there. You know, I mean, you've got Marty Scurll, who is a much more aggressive wrestler than he was, you know, even 6 months ago or more. You know, Marty has completely changed his game plan and has introduced more submissions and just become a nastier, more aggressive individual. But I think Sunday, I think the Marty that turns up Sunday has a lot to do with the Marty that leaves Saturday. If Marty does retains his title on Saturday, then I think you're going to see obviously a very confident and cocksure Marty Scurll walking into Clapham on Sunday. If Marty Scurll should lose that title on Saturday night to Martin Stone, then the Marty Scurll that you're going to see walking into Clapham on Sunday could be a very, very different man. You know, he could be a broken man. He could be a motivated man. I don't know. But, you know, I think a lot of that match rides on Scurll's match on Saturday night. You know, win or lose, that has a big impact on the Sunday. Obviously, Shelton Benjamin, a world-class wrestler, amateur wrestler and professional wrestler, recently a big star for New Japan and Ring of Honor before that, and obviously WWE. Shelton Benjamin can do it all. You know, he can fly, he can brawl. Yep. He can take Marty the mat if he needs to. But then Marty's got an amateur background as well, you know, so Marty's no stranger to that kind of thing. So I think, again, a very, very similar styles, but I think a lot of this match will ride on how Marty Scurll comes into the Sunday, his attitude on the Sunday. But I think whatever happens, you're going to see a match between two world-class professional wrestlers.
Yeah, for sure. Talking of two world-class professional wrestlers, the other match that, you know, the last match we know that's officially announced. Again, Ricochet was supposed to be in this match going up against Okada, but like I say, that's not going to happen now. Ricochet unable to make the two shows.
Yeah.
But stepping in his place is, of course, I think you said it early on, the greatest man that's ever lived, Austin Aries, as he likes to be known.
Yeah.
Him going up against Okada. Now, that there is he's a strange one indeed. I mean, I know like Ricochet and Okada was, like I say, you know, import against import. Now you've got, obviously, these two guys going up against each other. But I just think it's so different for style-wise. And, you know, Austin Aries, been in TNA for so long. And unless I'm wrong, wasn't Okada there some years back as well in TNA?
I'm not sure. Tanahashi was.
I thought he was a card.
I may be wrong. I'm not 100% sure on that, Stu. Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
Thanks to Chris for coming on. Like I said, we had some technical difficulties, as you would have heard yourself there at the end of those previews. But either way, you know, they're going to be some great shows. Gutted that I'm not going to be there myself. But anyone that is there, you're going to have a great time. Feel free to send in any feedback on the Facebook page or on the Twitter, saying what you thought of the show and stuff like that. So another show coming up this weekend is ICW's latest touring show. This is going to be called Ringo's Despair, and this time they're going to be right here in Birmingham at the O2 Academy. You know, they've been touring around in Scotland and England, some shows, and there's a review of the Liverpool show from end of last week. It's up on the IndieCorner.com by Nick Hughes, if you want to have a read of that one. But what they've got going on for this Sunday in Birmingham, well, I'll just go through the matches. We've got Joe Coffey going up against Kid Fight, Noam Dar going up against Liam Thompson, who of course will have Carmel Jacob in his corner. We've got Grado teaming with Kenny Williams to take on Polo Promotions, that being Mark Coffey and Jackie Polo. Damien O'Connor going up against Dave Mastiff. We've got the ICW Tag Team Champions Paul London and Brian Kendrick going up against a New Age clique of Chris Renfrew and BT Gunn. And in the main event, main event, even. It'll see ICW Heavyweight Champion Jack Jester defend against Jimmy Havoc. Should be a good show and a good thing for the Birmingham crowd who've never been able to get up to Glasgow and Edinburgh or any of the other places to see ICW. I got to see him in London the first time I went to London, and that was a cracking show and a unique atmosphere. So it'll be interesting to see what type of crowd and atmosphere they get here in Birmingham on Sunday. It is a show I'm supposed to be going to, so hopefully I can say more about it next week. Sticking with ICW, you know, their big Fear and Loathing show at the Glasgow Barrowlands, you know, is now sold out, completely sold out. They've announced Shaw Samuels against Grado and the tag team championship match of the New Age Clique against the Sumerian Death Squad, which has confused me, to be honest with you, being as I thought Paul London and Brian Kendrick were still the champions, which I said for the show in Birmingham. But we'll have to see what happens there. Bit of a balls up, but you know. What we'll do now, guys, is head over to Justin for the US Indie News for this week. So, and that'll end the show. So give us a follow on Twitter at the Indie Corner. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheIndieCorner. And check out theindiecorner.com. Loads of great content going up there, and also there are banners where you can help support us with the running costs of the podcast and website, Amazon, Highspots, the Indie Corner web store, and WLH DVD sales. Using any of them will help support the running of the podcast and the website. So like I say, what we'll do now, guys, head over to Justin for the US Indie News, and that'll end the show. So I'll see you all next week.
This is the Notorious 187 Homicide, and you're listening to the UK number one podcast, The Indie Corner.
Welcome, guys. Justin DiVirgilio here to present this week's edition of the US Indie News segment. What we have on the agenda this week is Evolve starting up a Roku channel, AAW returning their Roku channel, Global Force Wrestling bringing New Japan to pay-per-view, thoughts on the Willie Mack release, what else, and ROH announcing Final Battle on cable pay-per-view, and my thoughts on Chris Travis, UK wrestler Chris Travis having some type of cancer. So let's get into it. Evolve will be starting up a Roku channel. I found this out over Twitter or Facebook. Gabe Sapolsky, the creator of Evolve and DGUSA, announced that they will be having a channel in the coming weeks. So there wasn't really a date put on that. AAW out of Chicago will be returning to their Roku channel, Maddie GTV. So, I have no idea when. I don't think there was a date for that either. Now, New Japan, Global Force Wrestling, Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling will be bringing New Japan Pro Wrestling to pay-per-view here in America for the Wrestle Kingdom show in January, which will take place on January 4th, and I read that it will be airing January 5th, which is pretty awesome because I'd like to see the Japanese wrestlers. I saw Okada, Nakamura, Tanahashi, and Kushida, some of those guys, but I like to see some of the lesser known guys on pay-per-view, which is really cool. I also get to see AJ Styles, the Young Bucks, the whole Bullet Club, except for I hate Jeff Jarrett, and I don't really care for Scott D'Amore. But other than that, I think it's awesome that New Japan is coming over, is going to be on pay-per-view here January 5th, I'm pretty sure the date is. Now my thoughts on, apparently, Willie Mack, PWG standout, wrestler from California, wrestled a lot of places, but really known for his PWG matches. He has been released from his WWE contract, he was supposed to report to NXT, but he was never. So the thing is that he was signed, but was not. Like, he was released, so, like, it's not like they took it back, like, he failed physicals. It's just that he was signed and they released him. It's really weird, because he didn't even get the chance or whatever. I think that's stupid. I wish, I was happy for Willie Mack that he got signed, and apparently he had a very emotional farewell at the Battle of Los Angeles, PWG's Battle of Los Angeles this past year on night 3, which will be up on YouTube because it could not be fit on the DVD. So, yeah, I think that's really upsetting because he was going to be able to make a lot of money, but obviously he's not now. Now, to news that I was expecting, just when I saw reports, right after ROH is going to be on pay-per-view, cable pay-per-view for Final Battle 2014, December 7th, Terminal 5 in New York City. It features ROH World Champ Jay Briscoe, the ROH World Tag Champs, Red Dragon, the Young Bucks, AJ Styles, Matt Sydal, Jay Lethal, and Mark Briscoe, Adam Cole, I'm pretty sure, yeah. So that's those are the marquee guys. And I was expecting this when it was reported when they had Best in the World, and then afterwards they were trying to run 1 to 2 pay-per-views a year, so I just thought it would be Final Battle because that's their biggest show of the year. And obviously it came true. And so it's going to start at 8 o'clock Sunday, December 7th. I'm really looking forward to this. ROH on pay-per-view yet again. It's going to be on my TV. That's going to be awesome. And I'm just looking forward to that. See, hopefully they build it up well. I'm still going to watch anyway, but hope I'm really going to be anticipating a show. Really anticipating the show. And now, this isn't really U.S. indie news, but I thought it would be. I want to give my opinion on this. My condolences to UK wrestler Chris Travis, part of Project Ego with Martin Kirby. I only saw a couple Chris Travis matches because it's hard to find matches of UK guys over here in the US, but he has some type of stomach cancer, I believe. I know he has some type of cancer. I hope he gets through it. And it's amazing all the support he's gotten so far from the Indiegogo thing, the Indiegogo fundraiser, from Mick Foley tweeting about it, Kevin Cena, other friends of his or guys in wrestling trying to support him and help him get through this tough time. I'm hoping he beats it, and when he does beat it, he'll definitely come back stronger than ever. But he really impressed me. I just thought I should say that because I saw it over Twitter and a lot of guys giving their condolences, so I thought I'd do the same. So Chris Travis, you'll get through it. Thanks for listening, guys. You can follow me on Twitter at JDVirgilio4, at JDIVIRGILIO4. And you can check me out on the Indie Corner doing ROH TV reviews. And I got to think of an independent wrestling article to write. If you guys have any ideas of something to write, just hit me up, something you'd like me to write about. Just hit me up on my Twitter. And support the Indie Corner. Support independent wrestling. Support Chris Travis, and that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening, guys. I'm out.